Blog Talk Radio.
Actually didn't get to see him after that.
He passed away while we were at dinner. Several other teams were gone at dinner. It was a very, very trying time. So tonight's show is going to be dedicated to Papa Sam, as everybody knew him. Everybody who met him's got a story to tell. And I'm going to start it off with my first meeting of Sam was down in at the Ball Talk in Waynesboro 3 years ago. I was cooking my first ever professional contest, going in kind of blind. I was up around 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, I had a offset smoker and everything, and this elderly gentleman came by at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'd think that, you know, what the hell is everybody doing up at 3 o'clock in the morning besides me? And we got to talking, and I told him I'd never cooked a brisket before in my life. Up until that week, had never even seen a brisket, had no clue on how to cook a brisket, just went online and tried to find recipes and everything. So Papa Sam gave me a few little pointers on that. I think he won it the year before I was down there. And he was giving me some pointers and everything, which helped me. I finished up tents and brisket that weekend, which was the only call I had. But we sat and talked for about an hour and a half to 2 hours that night, like he was your best friend. And I know several other barbecuers around. If you ever got a chance to cook by him or near him, especially in the Georgia and Florida contest, everybody pretty much knows him. So, you know, he talked to everybody like that. Everybody was looked up to them. They were like our barbecue parents out there on the circuit. And they were really good competitors. They were really strong competitors. And it was good to see them up at National Barbecue Cup last year. And, you know, he would come to a couple of the other contests without Diane, but he wouldn't cook without her. But it was all of a sudden just a tragedy for the whole barbecue community. And like I said, tonight we're just going to share stories of Papa Sam and Diane. So anyway, if people want to call in and let's hear a story that you have about Papa Sam, please call in. The number is 347-202-0263. And we'll get you on the air as soon as possible. We also have some other news as far as contests this past weekend. Of course, the one in Rome, Georgia, that Big Jim Stencil from Bare Knuckles helped coordinate. Wonderful event. Had F-18s, had a big air show out there. One F-18 broke the sound barrier, which scared the living hell out of everybody there. Which was pretty cool. They had jet car, had 49 professional teams, I believe, competing in this. A good friend of mine, Jeff Campbell from WikiQ, took grand champion in it. And some more good friends, Suzanne and Scott Burton from Southport, they took reserve grand. So, you know, it was a very good event. Went out with just one little glitch in the program, but other than that, it's really an event. It's one of those events you're going to have to do next year. But like I said, on a somber note, leaving out on Sunday when some of Papa Sam's friends came up, got his truck and trailer, and was taking it back to the house, quite a few teams were sitting there. And we were all saying this will be the last time we see the red trailer at a contest. And it was really, really somber. Makes it tough when somebody like that goes down and hits really close to home. So, you know, it was, I don't know, it's just really tough. I played that song because I knew Diane was looking down on him. We all know Papa Sam and Diane, and we knew he was he pretty much died of a broken heart. Those two were inseparable. He loved her with his life. And, I mean, it was just, you know, usually I don't hear about it in movies and stuff, but, you know, to live it like what we did this past weekend, it was very, very tough, but in a good way. You know, he's up there with Diane, and they're cooking Q in heaven. So We've got a caller, 478-288. Hello, you on the air?
Hi, this is Jamie. I'm one of Papa Sam's daughters.
Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to call and tell everyone thank you that my parents, that was their favorite thing to do, and my daddy did die of a broken heart, and we're still in complete shock like everybody else, but it was a blessing that they got to do what they got for so long, what they loved, and my daddy did die of a broken heart, and his job here on earth was done, and the good Lord rewarded him by letting him come home to be with her.
Well, like I said, we were leaving out to go eat dinner that, you know, Saturday night, and he'd come over and ate with us on Friday night. You know, there was a bunch of teams that got together, and, you know, we were just really glad to see him. If you need any help or whatever, he said, "Not me and Mama's got this one." The whole time he was in the trailer, he was talking to himself. "Yes, Mama, I know I oversauced the pork. And yes, Mama, I know I did this and did that." And he was telling us all, and he had a caption on his phone that Myron Mixon sent that he was showing people. And after people were reading it, there wasn't a dry eye anywhere. Even he was, you know, tearing up, crying. It was a very emotional weekend for a lot of people. We, like I said, Papa Sam, your parents are like our parents. You know, he came out there. He said he felt like Mama wanted me to, and to get back out on the road and do this stuff and see our other extended family and, you know, see all of our other children, so to speak. And it just kind of hit you right in the heart. I mean, they were just wonderful, wonderful people. You know, Sam would do just about anything for you. And, your dad was just an icon in the barbecue world. That's all I can say. He was, like I said, he was the first person I met from any team down there that would come up and talk to me and everything. He knew I was young buck in the barbecue world. And for him to come over and speak to me, like I said, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, that was his shift. And it was just great. He made me feel welcome. And I guess that was the biggest point. Like I said, they were both like our parents, and we just lost our brother-in-law to pancreatic cancer in May. He was like a father to my wife. I lost my father to pancreatic cancer several years ago. But I cannot imagine losing two parents the way y'all have in such a short period of time. But like I said, he really, really, I don't think he could have really passed in any other better setting than what he did, in my opinion. Didn't want to see him do it this year or any year, actually, but I think he actually loved me. So, I'm just hopeful, you know, some teams will call in and everybody's got an experience. Everybody who's met them's got a story to tell. And all of them are good. That's all I can say. We're going to miss him deeply in competition.
We're still in complete shock, and all I can say is, you're right. He died doing what he loved to do, and where he wouldn't have been anywhere else. So, and when we thank you all for the kind words, the thoughts, the prayers, and if you'll just continue to bless our family.
We definitely will. Like I said, they were part of everybody's family out there, and like I said, just me getting from Facebook and everything, from, you know, doing this show, trying to salute, your parents and everything. It's an honor for me to do that. It was an honor for me to know them. Like I said, your father was just so outgoing and everything, and he just tried to make everybody feel comfortable. And but like I said, he was liked by every team that I could think of that competed with him or against him or any time. He was just, I mean, they were just, you know, when they were there, you knew everything was right. So, and I really appreciate you calling in and,
Well, we thank you and we're very humble to have had them as parents.
Well, he just told me Friday night, That was another little note. He came by and we were talking, and you know, we try to help him with every contest to load up and everything. He's got a certain way of doing things, but he said that he was talking to his daughters and said he, I guess he'd asked a couple of y'all if y'all wanted to go to Myron Mixon School, that he would pay for it to come out there and, you know, do a couple competitions with him and stuff. And he was kind of looking forward to that.
We were too. We just, I mean, we already had our calendars marked and where we were going to go next and what we were going to do. And we're just still, we're just in a state of shock completely. But we find comfort that Mama was waiting at the gates with a smile on her face for them to be together again.
Well, I thought that kind of be a fitting song to play for the opening. It was one of my all-time favorite songs from Journey, and you know, it just kind of fit the point where, you know, your mom was up in heaven waiting at the gates with her arms open, waiting for Papa Sam to be in them once again. Like I said, he was very emotional this past weekend, you know, being the first competition back, and, you know, just going through a lot of emotions and stuff. And, you know, we were there to comfort him and, you know, like I said, to make him feel at ease or anything. So I think it was really good for him to come out there. I wish there were several more we could see him at, but God had another line of duty for him up there. So, you know, like I said, we pray for y'all, the whole family, and send our condolences. And if there's anything we can do, just let us know.
Yes, thank you, and you know, just we certainly appreciate it, and just he loved cooking barbecue and loved talking to people more than anything. That was his life, and it is only fitting that he was where he wanted to be. So we appreciate it, and we appreciate you taking your time, taking the time to honor him, and because there was no better man.
Well, like I said, it was such a great venue and everything too, and you know, he actually enjoyed himself, son. Even though he had a lot of emotions going through it, you know, he enjoyed, you know, watching the planes and, you know, talk, because there's a lot of teams, you know, that kind of grew up with them, and you know, it was good that he was surrounded by not only just other teams, but teams that were close to him and been around him for quite a few years, and you know, people he could talk to. And like I said, we were kind of his extended family, and we always knew when they were there, it's like having your parents there. And I mean, it didn't matter how old they were, how old you were. It was just the comfort feeling that you had when they were there. And they were both very gracious people, and I mean, it was. But, you know, your dad made a point to come around and talk to a lot of teams when he was there. I guess he was the PR man or whatever for the team. But he, you know, he made a point to come around and talk to everybody. And it's kind of ironic because we were up in Cummins last year and when your mother wasn't doing so well. And we had a golf cart up there, so we gave him the golf cart to go to awards with, sit in there and everything, and he was all worried about, well, you know, I have to drive it back over there. And I said, no, you're not, because they're a good ways away from us. I said, I'll come home, pick it up when I get ready. You just take it back to the trailer. I said, we know where you're at. I'm not worried about it. If you need it for anything, it's yours. So that's how everybody was to him, though. Anybody would do anything in the world for your parents, and, you know, they're going to be sorely missed, and like I said, Every barbecue team out there is praying for your family and hoping to mend some feelings and stuff for too long. But like I said, it's really tough. It's tough on all of us, but I can't imagine what y'all are going through. I can't even fathom that. And, you know, Papa Sam would be surely missed.
We certainly appreciate it. And services for Daddy will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at Hastings Funeral Home in McDonough, Georgia.
Okay, yeah, I saw visitation was right after that, so.
Yes, sir. Visitation will be following immediately.
Okay, well, like I said, prayers going out to you and your family, and everybody sends their condolences.
Thank you. And you all, we certainly appreciate it. Y'all have a blessed evening.
You too. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think we have this Roger Weiss on the line.
I am on here, yes.
Rusty, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I had to call in and give my tribute to Sam, but first of all, let me send my condolences to their family. I'm sure this is a very shocking thing to happen, to lose two parents within 6 weeks of each other. It's totally unreal. And, you know, there's only one thing comes to my mind in situations like this, and I think we've all probably said it at least once in our life, and that is, why in the world is it always that the good people go first? Why can't some of these sorry jerks we know in our lives just precede them, you know?
Well, God
and,
always thinks, Roger.
I know we're not supposed to second guess all that, but that don't make you feel any better. It just seems like good people always go before their time.
Yeah.
But the whole intent here is really to tell stories about Sam and how, well, I do not have a really funny story per se. I'm not a good joke teller, but I can always talk about the first time I met Sam, and like you, it was in Waynesboro, Georgia, and this is 2008, excuse me. And in that particular year, I was putting on these little pools. I always like to do this sometimes. I get a pool together where each team would put up $25. And after the contest is over, all these monies that we put together, 50% went to the winner of the pool, and the other 50% was spread among the winners of the four categories. And so I was out visiting teams, trying to get some teams recruited to build this pot up. And Sam had his red trail up there, and Diane was up there with him, and he had his little white picket fence set up around there with all his eggs. And I stopped in and started a conversation with him, and naturally they jumped in onto the pool. Little did I know later, he'd take a lion's share of it. But that was our first meeting. And so we had several good visits throughout the entire cook-off. It was only my second year competing. He obviously had been at it for quite some time. But as luck would have it, when the contest was over, I believe it was their very first cook-off, KCBS cook-off anyway, that they had won. And I've never seen such joy between two people in my life. And we were reserve grand champions. And, again, this is in Waynesboro, Georgia, at the Boss Hog Cook-Off. I think we had a seventh chicken. And then I'm thinking that Sam won the ribs. And then we had seventh ribs as well, if I remember correctly. But anyhow, we had a ninth and fourth, I think, and he had a 15th. But then he came back, and we both tied for brisket, first place brisket, but the way the ties are settled, they ended up getting first place brisket. That really exercised the win. So that was good to see that not only did he get a win that particular weekend, but like I said, he took the lion's share of the purse, that a little side purse that we had. And oddly enough, in 2009, in the very same cook-off in Waynesboro, Georgia, if I remember right, he did well again, or they did well again, I should say. He had a reserve grand, if I remember that year, and another team, which I hadn't seen anything of. Maybe some of you FBA folks will tell me where that nowadays, but Mount Dora Barbecue, I believe, won that year. And Sam just had another good cook-off. I do remember that he won pork and brisket and had a second rib and got reserve championship. And so, as we all know, sometimes one category can kill you and keep you from getting a championship. But they were just great people. They really were. And not only the contest aspect, so the thing I really remember best about them, I can't think of a cook-off where we were all at that this old boy was not cooking some boiled peanuts. And for people that's not from the southeastern United States, you're not going to understand boiled peanuts, but they're just darn good. And Sam had a good way about doing it. And he didn't just fix a few, he fixed a big old pot full of them. And you always brought some up to Marcy and myself, and so we always appreciated that. But we can't forget Diane either in all of this. That won more of these ancillary contests than I can imagine. I know she won a lot more than we ever did. The woman was incredible with her desserts and everything. So, again, we just lost two good friends in all of this, and I really hate it for the family, and I hate it for the barbecue community.
Yeah, they were always the pillars of the barbecue community, especially in Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. You know, they did several FBA events, and they really loved the Boss Hog. I think know that and Lake Oconee was some of their favorite events to go to. But like you said, Papa Sam and his boiled peanuts, he would cook, and he did this up there in Rome. He cooked a big old pot, and I think he's got like an 800-quart cooker that he would cook at what he called boiled his goobers. And he would distribute them throughout the teams. If you knew, everybody who knew him knew he was cooking them. If you wanted some boiled peanuts, you knew where to get them from. And he was quite proud of that. He, like I said, they were both very friendly, you know, and very tough competitors. I mean, I'll give them that much. They knew their stuff, but they're going to be sorely missed in this time of barbecuing, I'll put it that way.
I'm sure you have some others probably in queue here to talk, but let me say one other thing and I'll hush. But one of the other best memories I have, and it was a very impressive memory, was in 2010 in Greensboro, Georgia, at Lake Oconee Cook-Off. It was so impressive. Diane was so feeble, but yet she came to the contest with Sam, and she was so feeble at awards. If anybody remembers it, she literally had to be carried from one chair to another. And Sam, well, we talked extensively with Sam at this contest and talking about what he was going through. And what was so impressive is the guy had all the patience in the world, the patience of Job, as we always say. And so it was really amazing to see that that somebody could put up with the hassles, as some people would say, but yet it was love that, you know, that took me through all of this. But she was right there with it. And Sam was taking as good a care of her as he knew how. And it was just impressive. It's always impressed Marcia and myself.
Yeah, he really, really loved Diane. I mean, you could tell that just what he went through he was living what she was living. And, you know, I got to see him up there that year and even in Cummins, you know, last year. You know, they had to back out of a lot of contests because, you know, her chemo treatments came on that week or something. You know, he'd come to a couple by himself that were kind of close to home and wanted to see how everybody was doing and all that. But, you know, like I said, them just being there, doing the little subtle things they do, like he did with, you know, cook his full peanuts. And, he took shots with the teams. You know, that was his duty, I guess, to come around and do that. But you know, there were teams that had so many experiences with them that, you know, they, like I said, they were just like our parents and everything. They were really, really good friends. Nobody had a bad word to say about them. They didn't have a bad word to say about anybody. And, you know, their folks is going to be sorely missed out there on the barbecue circuit. Like I said, when their red trailer pulled out of there, and me and Danny and Bubba and Jan and a couple other teams were there when it pulled out, it was a very sobering experience looking at that trailer pull out of there. And I looked at them and I said, "Well, guys, that might be the last time I'll see that trailer at a competition." And, you know, if there was one way they could be buried in that trailer, that'd be great. But with all their green eggs. But, you know, I remember he used to give Ron Harwell a fit because I remember walking out of the awards that was the first year over at Lake Oconee. And he told Ron asked him how many eggs he had. He said he had like nine. but he told Ron he probably couldn't even figure out how to crack one open. So Alabama boy doesn't even know how to crack one open or something like that. And that's just the way he was. But he actually, as you know, I competed on Green Eggs last year, and he was probably the one person that kind of got me interested in cooking on Green Eggs at the competition, you know, seeing how good they did and everything. And a buddy of mine got one, so I borrowed his and did pretty well, and so I got a few more, but I've since gone another direction. But, you know, I did very well last year on Green Eggs. They did very well on Green Eggs. There's several teams that do well on Green Eggs, but, you know, I think they could probably have a big Green Egg chicken farm by now, as many Green Eggs as they had. But, you know, he loved them. They both did. So, like I said, he's going to be sorely missed. And I don't, in my opinion, I don't think he could have gone a better way being at a competition like that and passing so peacefully. And, you know, like I said before, he was really proud of what Myron Mixon put on his phone. He was letting some teams read it and stuff, and yeah, he'd get teary eyed every time. And it was a very emotional weekend. I wish y'all were up there. I know y'all couldn't be, but it was a really good contest and a lot of good teams. And, you know, we had some good fellowship up there at the dinners and stuff. We even had one of the squadrons from the air show come over and eat dinner with us on Friday night. And Papa Sam was there.
In retrospect, I wish like the devil we'd made that show. We were seriously considering doing it until we decided to do the Bentonville cook. And, you know, doing three cook-offs in a row, which I was going to do Lawrence, South Carolina this weekend as well, but we just decided that was just too much. Well, you're in the lawn care business as well, so I've got to hang around here as much as I hate it. And just decided that we'd skip 2 weeks' worth of contests and go ahead and go to Bentonville for the Sam's Club Finals. But I'm going to heck of a cook-off. I've seen some of the stuff that Bubba posted and the jet going supersonic. That was pretty awesome. And then that other picture of a jet car and a jet more or less racing down the runway, that really had to be sharp to see. I'd love to have seen that.
Another thing that they took a picture of was the old and the new, to see that Corsair fly by and then having that F-18 right on its wingtip. To see that person was just awesome. I mean, Big Jim Stencil, I mean, you know, he put on a really, really good show. You know, everybody had Apple Power and everything for most of the time. We'll go on that later. But it really was a well-run event. He made sure the cookers were taken care of in every aspect, and you know, it was the magnitude of the National Barbecue Cup, but with the hospitality of Boss Hog, if you can imagine that. So,
oh yeah,
but it was
you just named right there, darn good cookoff.
It was. I mean, that's one of them ones that, you know, no matter what, you're not gonna be able to miss next year. It was But we were it's kind of funny because we were in the trailer when that jet broke the sound barrier.
Mm-hmm.
It found the trailer up. But Jan was actually doing dishes, and I just walked in. It scared me, but the look on her, it was like petrified. You know, it was, she didn't know what it was. And we after, you know, about 30 minutes, we found out what the jet did because we were right there by the runway when he hit it. And, To see no windows busted out of any buildings and stuff was a shock because it was, I'm not kidding, Roger, it was like shooting off 357 in the trailer. It was loud.
I bet it was. I'd love to have seen that. And the timing of that one picture Bubba is showing is unbelievable. I don't know how he got so lucky to get that picture. If that was just a single frame shot, it was unbelievable. But you had mentioned the cook-offs for next year. I definitely would like to come back or go to Rome next year, but it looks like I'm going to get messed up with Wayne's World because they have another cook-off in Kannapolis, North Carolina, the same weekend, which is 35 minutes from my house. That's going to be part of a four cook-off series for North Carolina. So I really can't miss it. And, oh, geez, you know, it just made me sick when I saw that they're going to have it the same weekend as Wayne's World, because that's one of my all-time favorite cooks. In fact, that was my second grand championship down there, and I really hate not going back next year, so hopefully we can get the schedule to work out in future years.
Yeah, well, like I said, you got to, you know, doing this barbecue stuff, you got to look at logistics. And, you know, when you got one that close with that kind of prize money stuff, even though y'all been a staple down at Boss Hog, you know, there's just some things you got to do as far as you're concerned to, you know, we all want to barbecue the next week, and the only way we can do that is, you know, to win money and save money. So,
this show's about Sam, and you know me, I'll take you in 40 different directions if I get the opportunity. So thanks for letting me call in, and teams, if you're listening, call in. We want to hear what you have to say about Sam, and Diane, for that fact.
Yeah, so like I said, well, I guess we won't see you for a little while, I guess. I don't know where I'll see y'all next.
We'll be in Bentonville. Our next cook after that is probably going to be Shelby, North Carolina, and then we'll be coming Georgia.
Okay.
So Brandon, if you book the teams, like you said, you're booking them down there, then there may not be room for me by the time. I'm one of those people sending the money in the last minute. I just hate to send that money out months in advance.
Well, I think Randall's got plenty of spaces. He's got a huge venue down there. And
I want my same spot. You know, I like to have my cake and eat it too, you know.
Okay. What you got to do is just call him and tell him, you know, what you got to do, you just got to hold on to your money for a little while longer. So, but I wish you all the best of luck in Bentonville, Arkansas, and safe travels. And I'm sure we'll be talking before then, either on the phone or Facebook or whatever. But, so we always have a good time with y'all. And, you know, we'll see you down the road, Roger.
Good deal. Take care. See you. Bye.
See you, Roger. We'll talk to you later. That's Roger Wise with Pickin' Porkers out of Clemens, North Carolina. We don't have any callers right now, so we'll go with some of the, like I said, some of the past events with Rome. Everybody knows the outcome of that was Jeff from WikiQ winning grand, South Fork winning reserve grand, and we'll give a call out to Pig Whispers for winning third overall. Great showing for them. A lot of good teams had some calls in there, just didn't pull up the scores high enough to beat those guys. I also want to give a big shout-out to Butcher Barbecue. Just won another grand out, and I think they were in Oklahoma. And a lot of Bulls took reserve grand. Congrats to Mike and Debbie Davis for that. Saw some of the hardware they posted out on Facebook. Looked like a pretty cool event. And my hat's off to them. Like I said, we're dedicating this show to Papa Sam, and anybody wants to call in to have a story to tell about them, whatever, we're more than welcome to take the call. We've got a few other events coming up. We've got Squillin on the Square in Lyons, Georgia. I mean, at Lawrence, South Carolina. Sorry about that. That's coming up this weekend. We've got another one the following weekend in Lyons, Georgia. It's a real squeal. It's going to be, I think, 12th, 13th of October down at Lyons, Georgia. The one that Roger's talking about, the National Barbecue Cup, Randall Bowman's the organizer of that one. First year contest last year, he had 95 pro teams and 36 backyard teams. Just phenomenal event, phenomenal backing, just unbelievable resources from the community, supported it highly. They got a hell of a venue over there, ample power, ample water, does all sorts of great things for the cookers. If you get a chance, third weekend in November, get out there and join that contest. You won't be sorry that you did. It's got a big payout, well over $25,000 in prize money. And if they have the same trophies that they did last year, they're going to be first place, going to be chainsaw carved trophies. They're weighing between 200 and 300 pounds. So bring you a dolly to load them up in your trailer or your truck. They do, like I said, they do a phenomenal job there. It's one of the last contests of the year, and it's a high-paying one. And like I said, the who's who of barbecue will be there. So get your applications in as soon as possible to reserve your spot. We've also got a new SBN contest coming up that same weekend as Smoking in the Harbor down in Charleston, South Carolina. These guys have had some local barbecuers down there in the past, and this year they're getting a sanctioned body SBN. I think there's a little over $5,000 in prize money there. Want to hear it's an awesome venue, being right down the harbor, cooking right there by the water and everything. So for all you SBNers out there, that's one I don't think you really want to miss. Want to get my hats off. Summer Swine, the South Atari took Green weekend in Monk's Corner. And my hat's off to him. He had a really good showing, took another grand championship. So I think that's two for him in the SBN. Nipping at my heels, Seth. But anyway, like I said, this past weekend we were in Rome and had a really good contest up there. We got three calls. One of them was in People's Choice, though. But we broke out the new shirts. You need to check them out. They're on Facebook. Check them out, see what they look like. You'll be surprised. So, anyway, if you got any contests coming up, feel free to call in. If you got stories about Papa Sam, feel free to call in also. We've got a few sponsors we want to take note of. We've got Royal Oak Charcoal. I use them exclusively in my smokers and everything. So it's world-class barbecue lump charcoal. If you get a chance, buy a bag. You won't be sorry that you did. Also, Outdoor Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills down on Broad Street in Augusta. They have over 13 to 14 different grills. Call them and get your next one from them. And we've also got Memphis Smokers on board now, world-class pellet smokers. They do a really, really good job. Ease of pain. All you got to do is push the button on what temperature you want, and they'll cook it to perfection. And we've got another caller, 478-454-6130.
Yes, sir. Hey, I am one of Sam and Diane's daughters. I know my sister called earlier.
Right.
But we just wanted to call and thank you all for honoring them in such a way that they would be so proud and so humbled by. The barbecue community meant so much to them, and that was what they loved to do. And you're very right in the fact that he did die of a broken heart, but he died in doing exactly what he loved to do. So that does make it a little bit better, a little bit easier to swallow.
Well, it's good he didn't suffer, and you know, we heard he passed away so peaceful, and he had his phone on his heart when people found him. And, you know, like I said, he's going around showing people whatever Myron Mixon wrote about Diane and everything, and I mean, he was just, you could just tell he looked just like he was wore out from all the emotions and everything, and he felt like he just, you know, I guess him and your mama had discussed it, you know, that he needed to get back out and see his extended family and everything. And we tried to let everybody know that, you know, even though we're competing against each other, you know, we still love to see each other out there. You know, like I said, it's one big family out there. And when something like this happens, everybody bands together and, you know, pulls together and, you know, just tries to help any way we can.
He did. He was very tired. It was an emotional roller coaster for the last 3 years with my mom, and he never left her side. And he was very proud, very proud. I know I've had to listen to the message that Myron sent him and look at it at least a half a dozen times. Every time I talked to him, he said, "Did I show you the message that Myron sent us?" And I would say, yes, but let me see it again, because he was very proud of that. And he was very proud of the community and the love that he had. He thought of everyone from the barbecue community as a family. And on Thursday, I talked to him, and he told me that he may call and say that he wasn't coming, that he would tell him that something wasn't right with the trailer and he wasn't going to make it. And I told him, I said, yes, you are, Dad. You're going to make it, and you're going to get through this. And my sister and I actually talked about taking off from work and coming up there and being with him. But in hindsight, we believe that it was God's will that we weren't able to go, because he would not have wanted us to see him like that. But he put in a lot of work in his life, and he lived to the very end, and he was as happy and as right where he could be. So we're very blessed at that.
Well, you know, he was, so we were going out to eat dinner Saturday night, and we were coming by the trail, and he was kind of standing out there with a trash can, just kind of leaning up against everything, and, you know, we stopped and asked him if he wanted to go eat dinner with us. We were just going to go right down the road and grab something to eat, and he said he had indigestion, a heartburn or whatever, and asked him if he needed anything, if he wanted us to pick him up something or whatever, and he said, nice, I just took something for it. He said, I'll be okay. And, you know, at that time, you know, you don't realize until hindsight, you know, that could have been the start of it. It could have been prevented. But you know, like I said, it was, if there was a place to go for him, that was it. You know, cause like I said, he was just so glad that he made sure he went around and talked to all the teams that he knew and, you know, be social. But what really got me about him was, you know, they were telling me, he'd be in the trailer and he'd be talking to himself, yes, Mama, I know I got this. Or, yes, Mama, I know this. And, you know, I know I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, even building the boxes and all this other stuff, it was just, you know, your mom was right there with him.
Absolutely. And they were a team that you couldn't separate. And he was trying to be that team, and he couldn't be it without his partner. And like my sister said earlier, he needed his partner. They've been together. They loved each other like I've never seen a love. And we have a family that is most people that can only hope to have. And we're very blessed and very honored to have them as parents and what they've done in our lives. But his job on earth was done when he raised his three girls and took care of my mom until she couldn't do it anymore. And when his job was over, his reward was to be returned back to heaven with my mom. So there again, and they are, I can promise you, having one heck of a barbecue in heaven.
Yeah, my wife always made a point. Actually, he would come over and talk to her a lot, you know, at these events if I was over there working on the smokers or getting the meat ready and stuff, and he'd be out there talking to my wife, standing right here by me, but she's bawling like a baby. But anyway,
well,
she's really...
okay, we've done our share.
we cannot even fathom that. I mean, we're thinking back of our minds what you're going through, but there's no way anybody could ever fathom what y'all are going through. Especially the way your parents were, you know, they loved each other. They loved their family half as much as they loved each other. That was one really good way to be raised up.
Absolutely. We're very honored and very proud. And it is difficult to think that 6 weeks to the day of burying my mom, that we were going to bury my dad. But they are back together, and we thank you so much for honoring them and taking the time out to just bring so much honor to their name. And I know that they would be so humbled by all the recognition that they are receiving.
Well, like I said, you know, they deserve it. They were, you know, if there was a first family of barbecue, in my opinion, they would be it. And I was going to go on to the KCBS barbecue forum, and I was going to nominate them as the barbecue angels. You know, hopefully they'll be honored and remembered throughout the whole KCBS community.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and they would be so honored to be that, because they loved it, and it was a second home to them. We actually had suggested several years ago why they didn't just sell their house and get an RV, because they would spend more time on the road than they did at the house. But looking back, we're so thankful that they did go and travel and do what they wanted to do, because they earned every right for it.
They did. I mean, they were both, if not mistaken, both retired school teachers, and he said this was something that they just really loved to do. They just kind of fell into it, he said, and you know, it was something they were just going to do in a spare time. That's why they're called Just for Fun, because that's what it was. They did it for the fun. They did it to, I think, more for the fellowship than anything, going out and meeting teams. And you know, there's a lot of teams that were a lot closer to them than we were, that have been cooking with them a lot longer than we were. But like I said, the first impression is always one to get you. And the first impression I had of Papa Sam when he came over that night at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell me a few things I need to do to my brisket, you know, it was really just priceless. It really was. And it just showed me the character that your parents had and everything, even with what your mom was going through. Him right there by her side, and you know, that's a one in a million right there. There's no doubt.
Well, they were one in a million, and I certainly appreciate all that the barbecue family is doing for them, and they are I know, smiling down right now listening. So we certainly appreciate everything from the Grogan family. We're very honored and very blessed.
Well, I know. Actually, like my wife just said, we're the blessed ones just for having to know them and to meet them and, you know, kind of hang out with them a little bit. In the short time that we've been competing, I mean, they're one of our favorite teams. Any time over the last 2 or 3 years that they placed, they truly got a standing ovation from every team at these contests. And it was, I mean, there'd hardly be a dry eye anywhere when they got a call. And like I said, we were really, really hoping, you know, your dad would have got the call this weekend. I can't imagine what that place would have done. But, you know, he looked at it and said, well, there's always next weekend. So,
we had already told him the next one that we were going to do, we were going to come and we were going to do it together and work on it. And that was something that he wanted us to do. And we were so excited because we told him, we said, the next one we're going to get together, we're going to do it. And unfortunately, there won't be a next one, but there will be one that my sisters and I have new plan. We're not sure exactly which one, but we'd like to come to one just so that we can just have fellowship time with some of their good friends.
Well, you got Lions coming up. That's a good one.
Yeah.
But, well, you got National Barbecue Cup, which is a good one. The one up in Cummins in November.
They were there last year.
You know, we took them up. We gave them a golf cart, took them up there to the awards and stuff.
And that's the one he had wanted us to do together. So we may come to that one just to have time to celebrate their memory and meet some of the special people that they got to enjoy their time with.
That'd be a good one, because I think everybody up there would probably know Papa Sam and Diane that competes at that contest. Even teams out in the Midwest, you know, have heard of them. You know, your dad was just, you know, you see him come up on the forum as Papa Sam, and it was good to see him out there, you know, still plugging along and everything, even though what y'all were going through. But it's still kind of tough. It really is. It's tough on all of us, too. But like I said, we can't fathom what y'all are going through. And everybody that knows sends their prayers and condolences to you and your whole family. And, you know, we know Sam was blessed. He was blessed to have Diane in his life. And now she's the blessed one having him up in heaven.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I certainly appreciate everything. And God bless you all.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. So that was another one of Sam's daughters calling in. I would make a notation when I talked to Sam this weekend. He was telling me that he was going to send his daughters to Byron Mixon's school, and they were going to start doing some of these together. I don't know if they're going to switch off and one of the daughters or whatever, you know, cooks with him here and there. But like you said, she was she called in. They were planning on doing a one-up and Cummins at National Barbecue Cup with him. And it was cut short. But like I said, he went in the best way he possibly could. And, you know, like I said, he's up in heaven with Diane. We've got another caller, 678-513. Hello, you on the air?
Hello, it's Randall.
Hey, Randall, how you doing?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Hanging in there. It's a little tough doing the show, but
I understand. I was on my way home Saturday night and got my phone started ringing, telling me what was going on, and I was just in shock. I didn't even know how to react.
Yeah, we had some go to dinner with us, and like I said, he said he had indigestion and heartburn, and you know, he said he'd pass, but you know, he'd see us when we got back, and yeah, in those 2 hours we were gone, it was, you know, Danny told us the news, and we were just like flipped out. We just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was shocking to say the least. You know, in the sad and unfortunate circumstances, it's a blessing because he is back with Miss Diane now, and you know, I can't think of a better way for it to have happened if it had to happen. Than it did. I do want to invite the entire family to coming because we actually had some things planned for Miss Diane, and it's even more special now. We have some really big things in the works, and I would love for the family to be there to take part.
Well, I knew you told me up there when we were talking on the back of the pickup truck that, you know, you were going to honor Diane's life and, you know, Papa Sam would be there and everything. And I didn't want to say anything to the girls when they called in because I didn't know if you wanted me to let the cat out of the bag or not. But, you know, Sam did tell me he was going to send them to Myron Mixon School. They were going to go cook one together. And, you know, they said they'd pick yours to do it at. So, like you said, it'd be very fitting for you to have something up there like that for them.
Yes, I'd love to be able to do an even bigger thing than we already had planned.
Well, every Monday night, I will definitely push that on my show from now till National Barbecue Cup and get a few more teams up there. Even if they weren't planning on coming, if they knew Papa Sam, they need to be there.
Well,
you know,
I can't imagine that anybody could have anything less than the utmost respect for Papa Sam. He left an impression immediately, and it was always a very positive one.
Yeah, I mean, he never had a bad word to say about anybody. He always came. He always had a good attitude no matter what was going on. You know, I think about every team that's met him could remember their first meeting, just like you said. It was, I can remember mine like yesterday because I was like a little lost pup out there.
Yeah.
And they just won a grand, I think, the year before I did that one. So, you know, he was, he's kind of telling me, let me tell you how you need to do this. And, you know, when you're that young, you're a damn sponge. You know, you got to take everything you can and try to make it work. But, like I said, it was really good to see him up there this weekend. And
it was funny because we were in Winder, and Danny Kugel and I were sitting there, I believe it was Friday night, and I saw this gentleman turn the corner walking through the crowd, and I looked at Danny and said, "Is that Sam?" And Danny said, "It sure is." And we sat in Winder and talked for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, and, you know, you know, he was telling stories about Diane and getting teary-eyed, and, you know, we were trying to cheer him up, and we were just sharing stories and talking about fun times. And you know, after he left, Danny and I sat there and said, you know, the best thing that he could do right now is to get out and try to just keep going, you know, despite how hard it is and how difficult it is. It's what she would have wanted for him too. And you know, that Rome being that first contest he did since she passed, it's just it's kind of amazing the way they are back together now.
Yeah, it is. It's I guess Diane wanting him up there to show him one last glance or whatever on how she did things. But you know, he would pop up at one or two of these contests every now and then, just for, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, just say hey to the teams and stuff. But you know, when I talked to him Friday night when we had our jambalaya or whatever, he was telling me, he said, yeah, he said, me and Mama talked about this when this day would come, and he said, it's here. And you know, he was getting teary eyed and emotional. He was just full of emotion. And you know, you could really, really tell that he still missed her dearly. And you know, but he felt like he had to come out here. He said, you know what? He said, I've spent last 5-6 weeks with my personal family. But he said, I need to spend some time with my extended family. And he said, we were, you know, not quite as big. We were a big part of their life, but not as big by no means. But, you know, it was just one of them legacies, I guess.
Right.
They left behind, not only in their personal life, but even out there in the barbecue world. They left an impression on everybody they met, even if you just met them one time. You know, you just can't help but remember that.
No, he was very memorable. You couldn't forget him, and it was, like I said, it was always positive. Yeah, I can't imagine anybody ever had anything negative to say.
Yeah, we were cleaning out his what I call his goober tank, his bowl of peanuts that was still on, and me and another girl were cleaning them out, and I mean, I started getting teary at us. You know what? I said, there's a lot of last things we're going to see right here. You know, with the green eggs on the back of that red trailer. You know, him cooking all of what he called the goobers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, yeah, we're going to miss that. You take stuff for granted like that when they're around, but, you know, when it's gone, it's like, you know, we'll never have that again.
No, we won't. And you know what? There'll never be another Papa Sam. Nobody could fill them shoes.
No, and like I said before, I'm going to go on barbecue for them, and I'd love to nominate them as barbecue angels because of what they brought to the barbecue world and the lives they've touched and the teams that they've helped. I mean, it's just a small token of what we can do.
I agree, and I think it's a empty spot in all of our hearts, and the best thing we can do is to do some nice things to remember them and to keep that legacy going. And to me, they epitomized what one of the things I enjoy the most about barbecue, and that's the giving and the caring and the family type atmosphere, and you know, and they portrayed that wholeheartedly to everybody, and that to me is what it's about. And I think to help carry on that legacy is you know, a huge thing, and we owe it to them to do that.
I think so. I mean, like I said, it's a small token of what we can do. You know, we can't do a whole lot, but you know, we can do that. And you know, my personal thing is kind of like you know, I think at their favorite competitions, I think they need to hold a spot for them. You
right.
know, put a sign marker out just for fun and leave the spot there.
I agree.
Just let them know that we wish they were there, and you know, they'll always be there in our hearts. And like I said, it's really truthfully an end of a legacy. I mean, there's nobody out there that can fill their shoes, and. Or would there be anybody who want to fill those shoes? I don't think. You know, they're just the type of people they were.
I agree 100%.
But anyway, well, we've been pushing your contest coming up. Roger, of course, said he wanted to get in it, but he's going to hold his money a little longer.
Well, he's not alone. There's lots of folks that want to hold on to their money as long as they can.
Well, that's what I'm doing, too.
Hey, I understand. I'm there on contest, too.
So, you know, we just I do have the money set aside, though. It's sitting in a separate little area right there. It's a must do contest. You know, we were talking earlier. There's from 5 to 8 contests a year that is a must do, and yours is definitely a must do. Rome this past weekend with Jim Stencil.
I told Bubba when we were sitting around. Actually, we talked on the phone today, and I said, you know, that was probably the most exciting contest I've ever been to from a competitor standpoint, because there was so much we could see and do and not leave our sites. Because, you know, all of them have concerts and arts and crafts and all that stuff, but we got to experience so much, you know, that we never would have gotten to see otherwise. And, I mean, you just literally looked out the back of your trailer and saw more than you've ever seen at a contest before.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've never been to an air show like that.
Yeah.
You know, and even just watching a practice and stuff, you know, that was just an extra bonus, you know?
Yeah, it was.
It was, like I said, it was a pretty cool contest. It didn't matter if you went in your trailer and came back out. You know, between the, you know, Thursday afternoon, Friday, and Saturday, you pretty much saw the whole show one time or another. So, but for them to put that on their first year is just phenomenal. I think next year they're going to have well over 100 teams.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, there's so many people on Facebook now saying, when is this? You know, I'm going to have to make a point of for Donnie Bray to come down from Kentucky just because he really loves cars and airplanes and stuff. I mean, he said, I have one out my back door with decent prize money, but he said, I got to come down there and see that.
Yeah, said, I think they're going to have as many teams as they want next year without a problem, because I've heard nothing but extreme positives. And I tell you what, when you get Bubba excited, you get Danny excited, and you get Warren County Pork Choppers excited, and you get South Pork's excited, and you get these guys going, they're going to tell a lot of people, and it's going to spread quickly, and there's just way too much potential behind this for it to not be huge.
Well, the community came out for it just like they do at yours. Like I said, everything was phenomenal. I mean, I give my hats off to Big Jim. He had a lot of stuff on his plate. I know you do, too, with yours. And, you know, somehow or another, y'all pull it together and, you know, put on an awesome show. But I just don't know how they pulled off that big air show like they did. I mean, like I said, the venue was awesome. The people were great. And we had some of the pilots come over and eat dinner with us Friday night, which was cool. You know, and they're telling us about their stories in Afghanistan and stuff. They're all in the reserve. You know, it was just really cool to have them over there and to interact with them. It was Papa Sam was there talking to a couple of them. So, you know,
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Like I said, we go to these things, you know, 25% to compete, and the rest is for fellowship and Friday night dinner. So,
yep.
You know, it's, but like I said, the legacy is gone, and nobody will be able to fill the shoes, that's for sure. They're going to be sorely missed.
That's true. They will be missed greatly.
Well, we got another caller on 478-414-8920.
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. This is Jim with Killer Bees. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Jim. This is Brian Robinson from 5 o'clock somewhere. I'm cooking about 6 or 7 competitions a year, and we're telling stories, so I actually live in the same neighborhood as Jamie and Jennifer, the twin daughters, and just a quick story I was going to shoot on air right quick.
That's
it's
fine.
Probably back before the Winder contest in 2011. You know, I started cooking, and I got to know Sam real well through them. And I said, Sam, I'm just having trouble with my chicken. I was there talking to him and Dan. I said, I just don't know which end to start with. And he was telling me, you know, what to do, you know, how to prep it, and I was taking notes, and Miss Diane was, you know, she was chiming in. She was feeling pretty bad that day, but she was chiming in, and she finally looked at Sam and said, go show the boy how to do the chicken. So we went off to the pig, and I got me some chicken. We came back here. He gave me about an hour-long class, trimming chicken, pulling veins, deboning them, and so we went to Winder that weekend, and we ended up getting first place in chicken, and you're talking about some proud people, Miss Diane and Papa Sam. I mean, it's like they won first place. But I mean, they was always willing to help. Yeah.
Well, that's what we were talking about. You know, first time I'd ever eaten, seen a brisket. You know, they take a person brisket the year before in Waynesboro, and it, like I said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's just bebopping around. No, I mean that was his shift. And for him to come up, last year's grand champion come up, talk to me and everything. I didn't know it at the time. Didn't really know who he was at the time, but you know, he introduced himself and we got to talking, and he just sat in the chair and we just sat there and talked for about 2 hours. And I mean, till he said, "Well, I better get back over before Mama wakes up." So
He was always a and don't let Jennifer and Jamie, the $2 for you, they're just jokesters and they have a good time just like him. You know, I was up there spending some time with him yesterday, and Miss Diane was a big coupon queen. You know, she could have been on one of these shows. She's had coupons, and Jennifer said her mama had a buy one, get one free coupon, and she turned it in. So, in heaven. So she said that's the reason why he's up there.
Well, we saw how he was with the last 2.5-3 years. You know, I always thought whatever Mama wanted to do, if she wanted to come out and feed, I'd drag her to go compete. You don't see that kind of love these days, and it was just heartwarming to see them out there competing. And like I said, I was praying like hell this weekend he'd have gotten a call. I know that place would have erupted. It really would have.
Well, if Jamie and Jennifer make it up to Cummins, you can rest assured that they both can cook boiled. But he has taught them how to cook boiled peanuts just like him, and that's what they do around the neighborhood. Matter of fact, they was over at my house. Both of them were at my house Saturday night, and that's what they brought, a big old bag of boiled peanuts. So
they may not
let them
leave.
That's
the
tray they have.
Yeah, that's he always called them goobers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they sure can cook them, and like I said, he will be missed. He's taught me, you know, he taught me everything I needed to know and everything I wanted to know. He never held a secret from me. You know, he'd say, "Ryan, come over here, and me and my buddy Trey Owens, who cooks with me," and they'd say, "Hey, sit down, boy, and learn." You know, he let you walk in the trailer and let you, you know, take a peek at what he's doing. So.
Yeah, he didn't mind at all. I mean, he would show you what he did. He showed me his brisket after he turned it in, and you know, had me come over and taste it, and you know, make sure you get that flavor profile just about right there. And you know, you're a young buck; you don't know how the hell he even got there. So,
you're right. You're exactly right. Exactly. That's what he said. He said, "You still got to cook it, Brian." He said, "I'll show you everything I got, but you still got to cook it yourself." So, like I said, when we end up, we did get, I think, 3 calls that year, and I tell you, that first place chicken, I mean, he was just 3 days away from showing me how to do it. And it's like I said, every time I see that trophy, I think about him and Miss Diane and him on my back porch showing me how to trim chicken.
It's amazing the memories that they instill in people's minds and everything, you know. And just, you know, like I said, everybody's met him at least one time. And you can't help but remember the first time. But with your story right there, I'm... shows you what kind of people they were, you know, to give you a lesson like that. And when you take win with it, I mean, yeah, I'll believe you. They probably thought they won the chicken.
Oh, there's no doubt. Well, like I said, I appreciate it, Jim, and it's like I said, it's I appreciate what you're doing today, and I'll let you get back to some other callers.
Okay. Well, don't miss the National Barbecue Cup this year because it's going to be phenomenal.
We cooked last year. We was way up on the hill, so I need to talk to Mr. Randall, see if he can get us a little bit closer in. We should be there. So we enjoyed it last year.
We have UPS over your boxes.
Yeah, that'll work too. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, we should be there this year.
Okay, man. We'll see you at the conference real soon, buddy.
Thanks.
I'll take care. So, Randall, what's up next for you?
Cleveland, Georgia is our next stop in a few weeks, and then I'm off until the National Barbecue Cup. I got to devote the next few weeks after that to getting ready for that. So
I'm sure you're pretty much already starting to get ready for it.
Oh yeah. Well, I spent most of the day working on it today, so it's a full-time job in itself for the last few months right before it, for sure.
Yeah. So how many spots do you have? I know you're going to do the layout a little different this year,
like
you told me.
Yeah, we're changing the layout. We're moving. We're actually separating backyard and pros. We're actually going to do a separate turn in for backyard this year too, to alleviate some of the logistical issues we had last year. But we have a lot more pro spots available because of the way we're switching things around. So we've got 144 pro spots laid out this year. We've got 80 some odd entries right now. We've got there's technically 96 backyard spots in the layout, but we're limiting it to 50 this year, and we've already got 34 or 35 as of today for backyard. So it's it's coming along, and really it's the next 3 or 4 weeks when probably 70% of your entries come in anyway. So, I'm not too worried about hitting that 144 number for pros, because, I've talked to so many guys like you and Roger and, Rod Gray and Tuffy and all those guys are in the same boat. They've all said they're coming. They just haven't sent entries in yet.
Yeah, well, I know, I'm not trying to be like a Rod Gray or Tuffy. I know they get in at last minute and film them and they say they're coming, so you can kind of count on them to be there. But, it's not that far for me to come up there. But I'm just waiting to have to get through the lines to see where I'm at. And, I'm still hoping that, I'm the third alternate in the Sam's Club series.
Right.
I haven't even entered lines yet because I'm waiting to see this week if I get an email from Troy.
Right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you because that's a big deal. We hope you get in that one.
Yeah, my guy at 687 is still finished 13th. So, what do you do?
There were some high scores in some of those rounds. It was unbelievable. That last round you guys were at was amazing.
Well, I think it was 7 points decided first through 10th and 10 points decided first through 15th.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, Troy said it was the highest scoring as far as the amount of teams over a certain amount. I think he said over 680. There had been no other venue that had ever even came close to that before in the region. And he said he just wanted to let us know how good the teams were up here. He said this was the it of the regionals right here. And, he was really shocked at some of the scores and how many people scored over. Kelly said even over 670, how many teams were up there. It was just phenomenal. And I guess he's looking for big things from this regional up there at his Nashville, so we'll see. And it's kind of close to his home, so he's got to kind of pull for the Southeast.
Yeah. Well, there's good cooks all around the United States, but I tell you what, there's a large concentration, in our area of extremely competent cooks. It's truly amazing to see, these guys battling out every weekend against each other, and they're just beating the living crap out of each other weekend and week out. And it's, 2/10,000ths of a point that separates guys, and then they go out the next weekend, and they switch places, and it's 2/10,000ths of a point that separate them then. So it's, in the Southeast, we should all be proud that, You got to score a 695 or better usually to GC a contest.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable on our scores down here, and I don't think the judging is any different. I just think a lot of judges around here, they know when they eat really good barbecue and they appreciate it.
Yeah,
and they score you like that.
I agree.
And like you said, all of us Georgia teams are beating the hell out of one another week in and week out. I'm lucky enough to be over here by the South Carolina state line, so I can still do some Georgia comps, but I can hit North Carolina, South Carolina just as well as can hit around Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, you look at some of these contests like that World Food Championship thing coming up in early November in Vegas, and look at the number of Southern teams that were not just invited, but that are making the trip, because so many people passed on their invitation because they, financially they couldn't swing it. But there's a lot of Southern teams making the trip out.
Yeah, I'm still working on my trip out there. I'm signed up for it and set my money in and all that, and you know, on the list to compete. But you know, I did that not having any assurance, you know, and saying, well, if I don't do it now, I probably won't be able to get back in it.
Right.
So I'm going to, yeah, and then I'll work out if I can go or not, you know. And
right.
I didn't want to have a missed opportunity there, so that's why I went ahead and set my money in. And, you know, we're still working on some logistics. It's looking a little better right now. We talked to some other friends that are going out there. You know, if I can just get my grill out there and, you know, a couple lugs, you
yeah.
know, I'll be in good shape because that's pretty much all I need out there.
Yeah, I was on the phone. I was been on the phone a few times today trying to help coordinate some things for folks because it's a, you know, people don't understand it's a major undertaking when you're talking about going, you know, 2,300 miles, you know, plus from home. You know, and there, you know, there's some things you can rent and some things you can buy, but there's some things you just need to really do your cook.
Yeah, I mean, you can't compete on a totally different outfit. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
That's, yeah, some teams are, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're familiar with them, which a lot of teams are real familiar with, like one or two different types of grills, if you can't get that out there, then you don't know if there's hot spots, cold spots, or whatever.
Well, see, that's just it, because, I mean, like your pits, you know, and you're the manufacturer, your pits, every pit could be just a tiny bit different. Because I know the ones we build, every one's a tiny bit different. So
yeah.
You're used to yours. I mean, you can tell me exactly which part of which rack is, you know, half a degree different than the other part. And you know where you put your brisket, you know where you put your pork. I mean, you've got your routine down. And even if you had the exact same, you know, label on there, it could be a totally different cook for you out there.
Yeah, none of that spotlight, you know, you can get flustered real easily, even a seasoned professional can.
Sure.
And that's why I'm really trying to get, you know, one of mine out there, my smaller one, the one we have to cook, because I can just get that out there. You know, that's my biggest logistical issue.
Right.
I can pay somebody helping with some gas, and I can fly out there. It's really tough. I know it's tough for everybody, but, you know, when you have a real job during the week, even though I'm my own company, you know, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, and I just can't be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's the hard part for the guys traveling as far as, you know, it's a minimum of a 10-day trip by the time you get ready, load a rig, and drive out and compete and drive back. And you know, you've got 10 to 14 days away from home, and that's a lot for a guy who's, you know, working for a living and supporting a family, and that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people backed up because of that. I mean, there's quite a few teams who didn't think they had a snowball's chance to get in, and now they're being called to come in. Because,
yep.
And I think it's with every category. I mean, you look at the chili and the hamburger and all that, and you know, there's not as many of those competitions as there are what we've been taking under. But you know, you got to look at them too. How much money are they going to spend to get out there? Of course, their equipment isn't as big as ours for the most part. But,
I tell you what, we're going to all start making cold-cut sandwiches here if we can get in the World Food Championships doing that. I can take a, you know, a mayonnaise knife and a bread knife and be good.
I'll put my wife up against any of y'all.
Exactly. See, I mean, it, you know, you can get on an airplane and go out there and not have a problem.
That's it. I mean, you know, you can put your mayonnaise and your bread and whatever you want in your luggage and go on with it, you know?
That's right.
So, you know, maybe throw in a knife just in case you need to cut some lettuce or something. But, you know, it's really truthfully, if you look at it, the barbecuers have got the most, I guess, equipment to bring out there. You know, probably the most supplies to bring out there. Just, you know, we're cooking four different things. Well, three, but, you know, in the sauce. What are the others cooking? Just a hamburger or just a sandwich? Or
I think the hamburger are just doing, I mean, it's really pretty simple. I think there's a hamburger one and a sandwich one, and I think they've added a pastry one now. But, I mean, it's all that stuff is, you know, pretty simple, you know, in comparison to you know, smoking pork. You know, pork butts takes a little bit longer than, you know, slicing pastrami. So
I mean, and they got to throw the big meats on. They couldn't do chicken and ribs. You know, they had to do pork and brisket.
Exactly.
We're cooking the hell a lot longer, you know, and we've got to have the equipment to be able to cook and consistently cook for, you know, whatever, six to 12 hours.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Chili's, what's that, maybe a 2 hour?
Well, a chili, you can do that over a, you know, small portable burner and even a hamburger, you can do that on a tiny little charcoal grill and not have a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to a Walmart, pick up a Weber kettle,
yeah,
and some little of charcoal and do your hamburgers.
That's very true.
Well, they don't have to. They're not used to cooking on, really, truthfully, on these. I'm not bashing by any means, but they're not used to cooking on like sophisticated pieces of equipment like what we are, week in and week out, how we have them dialed in and everything like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. I really want to know and see what's really bad for us too. Is, you know, we got a downside to go out there, you know, put in your bare necessities. What are we going to cook at the final table?
I don't know. Let's see, they haven't even announced any of that stuff yet. And I don't know if they're going to announce it or if they're going to keep that all secret until the final table.
I mean,
but I tell you what, that final table pays really well, though, for anybody that makes it.
Yeah, but, I mean, just a hint, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I've not heard any rumblings or anything about what the final table is, so it could be interesting.
Well, I mean, you think about it. What does barbecue, chef, chili, hamburgers, sides, sandwiches, what do they all have in common that would be fair for everybody to cook?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure in some people's eyes it won't be fair no matter what anyway.
I mean, if it's roadkill, you know, the barbecue has got the upper hand.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but that's, you know, I just wish they'd throw a hint out or whatever, so, you know, because, you know, that's on Sunday, and they don't tell you till Saturday what you're going to be cooking.
Well, the problem for the guys traveling this far, I mean, it's different for, I mean, you and I both know I've got so much stuff in my trailer when I show at a competition site that I could probably wing a lot of things, as you could too. But you're not taking your trailer that far. You're going bare bones to cook barbecue, so you're not going to have those few spices you may use once in a while and some things. You're only going to have your tried and true, what you have to have with you, and, you know, are you going to have enough time to go out and get what you need, or, you know, or is what you need going to be available once that final table, you know, menu is presented?
Right. So, like I said, it's just right now it's a crapshoot.
It is. I'm looking forward to being out there. I think it's going to be an exciting time, though. I think it's an exciting time in our industry when we start getting things like this with these kind of payouts and all the stuff that surrounds it with the corporate entities being involved and everything else. I think even Rome this past weekend, I think shows like that do nothing but help our industry grow and bring more spotlight to it. And in the long run, will help all of us that compete on a regular basis because, you know, hopefully more sponsorships will be available, and the more corporate people that get involved, the more that will be, you know, accessible to us to make it easier for all of us to do more and perform better.
Well, I think the next year is going to be pretty interesting because, in my opinion, I think you're going to see more sponsorships get on board, you know, help more teams out there to go out there and compete more, and, you know, it's just going to be a continuation of more contests and more teams. I mean, I see it growing a lot, especially with, you know, the television coming on board and doing these radio shows and stuff. It's getting some word out. And, you know, it's something, you know, a family can do together. And there's very few things that families can do together.
No, yeah, you're right. You know, and we talk about how expensive this is as a hobby, but as a family, you know, hobby that the whole family can do together and spend an entire weekend somewhere enjoying each other's company and building those memories, when you look at it in that sense, it's not expensive. You know, we'd spend a lot more money doing something else to try to create the same kind of memories.
Right, and, you know, and the thing about this, too, is, you know, you're just like Papa Sam, and they're leaving the legacy. And, you know, I mean, take Smoke This, for instance, with Alex, you know, Scott's son. You know, he's 17, he'll drive his own car through competition an hour and a half, 2 hours away to help him. And, you know, I told him, I think it was at Dillard, he came over to help me cook those ancillaries, and, I mean, he knew exactly what to do, and I said, when you going to get your own team? He's when I get out of college. Yeah, he's already planning. He's, you know, it's in his blood now. And, you know, it's like if you don't do it, you feel like you're missing out. So, you know, but it's good to see. It's just like taking a kid fishing and hunting, you know. You create something there, so you'll keep on passing it down. And I just can't see it getting nothing but bigger. I mean, you see these backyard teams out there, and they'll do their first one. They get bit by the bug and, you know, pull my fork, you know, down on the end, down by Bubba. We met them with Cornelia last year and kind of helped with ribs. They got like a third in ribs and stuff. Took third overall up there, and they were like pumped. Well, they've already done 4 or 5 since then.
Right.
You know, and they're a great group of guys, and they like to have fun, but their family comes out there on Saturday for awards and all that. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about is, you know, barbecuing. You know, we try to tell people it's a really big family. It's family-oriented and have very few problems with idiots out there. And, you know, everybody pretty much behaves themselves. I mean, it's a really good thing to get into, get involved.
Well, it is, and you know, kind of back to the Papa Sam and Diane, they were such a huge influence. So many people became better people because of that, and there are so many good people out there doing this. And the really wonderful thing is there you know, are currently so many people that follow in those kind of footsteps that, you know, those bad apples kind of get weeded out and don't last in this very long because they just don't fit in.
That's right, and or either they straighten their act up,
right?
You know, like well, my attitude or my, you know, things are not going to fly anymore with these teams. They're, you know, you get put into like the black sheet where people don't want to, you know, be around you, you know,
exactly.
And you know, I don't ever want to go to contests where I try to hide from a team. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll leave it where I did something to them and that I'm ashamed of, or I don't give a crap about a team or whatever. It's just one of them things where, you know, I want to be able to say hey to anybody, even new teams, you know, wish them good luck and, you know, just feel unthreatened, I guess, is what I'm looking at. So, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of really good people in barbecue and, you know, you're not just friends with them barbecuing. I mean, even during the week or whatever, you know, you call them up in the area or whatever, you can talk to them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you ever have any road troubles, you know, hey, you're not just but a phone call away.
Oh, no, it's very true. I've got more friends in barbecue now than I have outside barbecue, and I spend more time with them outside barbecue than I do inside barbecue at this point. So,
amazing. Flip-flops, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good switch, though. I mean, because, like I said, when you have the barbecue and you got all these teams and everything, you've got more in common in the long run with these people that do the barbecue.
Right.
That's
true.
You know, you spend Friday and Saturday with them at least. So, and you get to know them, and a lot of times you see them every day on weekend.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Well, you get to know these guys because, you know, sitting around on Friday night, you know, you guys, I mean, we all talk. We share stories, and we get to know each other's families, and, you know, we know what, you know, kids are doing on their 16th birthdays and, you know, how you met your wife. And, you know, I mean, we just get to know so many really personal things through the conversations we end up having at these things. You get to know somebody and get to know who they really are, not just who you think they are.
Right, and like I said, they, you know, when you come to these things, you really don't have anything to hide. You don't have
right.
to try to press. You know, you just be yourself. That's all people want out there. You know, they don't want you to be somebody you're not or anything like that. They just want to, you know, chit chat and see where you come from, and, you know, like I said, I think those Thursday and Friday dinners we've been holding this year, especially in Georgia and stuff, North Carolina, South Carolina, it really brought a lot of teams together closer, I believe.
I believe so.
You know, it really met a lot of really cool people, and, you know, some of them have their own interests, you know, some of them catering businesses. I know you cater up Yin Yang, and you do your world-class smokers, you know, for teams, and, you know, we own a little restaurant. I do landscaping, and Roger does landscaping, you know, for Pick and Pork, because we've got stuff in common, but, you know, you got several teams own restaurants, and, you know, it's just really good that, you know, that they enjoy competing, but they're also in the industry, which
right.
is double good, according to Bubba, because it's something you're passionate about, something you can make a livelihood at. And if you love
right.
doing it, make a living at it, then you can't ask for any more. So we had another caller, 478-414-8920. If you want to call back in, it kind of dropped when we were talking. But if you want to call back in, we'll put you on the air. Me and Randall will just be up in the air for a little while.
I'm hoping some more folks call in, because I know there are some amazing stories about Papa Sam out there.
Well, you know, Rescue Smokers was a big part. I was hoping Robbie or somebody would have called in. And, you know, Bubba knew him very well. Danny, you know, several teams. I can't even begin to name all. Yeah. Yeah, you had Joe Moon and Grill knew him very well. Smokehouse Mafia knew him. They didn't know him that well. They didn't compete with him a whole lot. But, you know, it was, like I said, I was hoping some people would have some more stories to tell about Papa Sam. I mean, like I said, he was a great guy. And, you know, don't want to miss a tribute up there at National Barbecue Cup. You know, I even believe, you know, they took Rock Gray's class when it was in Atlanta back 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
Rob was telling me that the first Banjo-BQ over here, it was held in North Augusta, just for fun, took first in steak. And I think they finished in the top 10 overall. Rock Gray was reserve grand. And at that time, I didn't really know who Rock Gray was, because that was pretty much my first year.
Right.
But he was telling me, yeah, they took my class and all this other stuff, did very well. But 478-288-4505, call back in. Hello.
Hey, this is Jamie again. This is Papa Sam's daughter. And I just wanted to let y'all know that my cousin, who is Dustin and Robin, the team, we've been talking, and I wanted to let y'all know that infamous red trailer will be making its appearance again at coming, and Brittany and Dustin are going to try to get everything worked out so our family can come back up there for one more good time.
Well, I know Randall probably put one up right at front center.
You will definitely be excited to be there. I guarantee and promise you that.
Well, that's why I talked to them, and they're we know nothing about it other than we would go and hang out and have a good time with Mom and Daddy. But they know the logistics of it, and we've been talking, and we don't think that there's any better thing to.
Well, Brittany and I have been chatting back and forth here for the last 15 minutes, getting some of the logistics worked out while I've been talking to Jim.
Well, I'm excited, and my sister Jennifer and I, we've just been it's just the one thing in the last 2 days that has brought us excitement, and to think that we will go up there and be able to bring Mom and Daddy's red trailer right on back up there and do it one more time.
Well, you let us know if there's anything that y'all need. Like I said, if y'all haven't cooked on green eggs, I can set them up. I competed on them all last year. I'll be up there on Thursday. I'll be more than happy to help y'all set up or whatever, just anything y'all need.
We've already marked our calendar, and, you know, we already actually had it on our calendar because we had planned to come with Daddy. And, I think that he wouldn't have wanted it any other way than to been to for us to come up there and have a good time.
Well, he was really, really proud about y'all taking the school, taking the interest in it, and go cooking with him. He was actually really looking forward to that. And he didn't know really what y'all would do together, but he was kind of bragging about it a little bit. He said, you know, we'll be a force to be reckoned with when they come up. So,
I got one of his granddaughters right here beside me, and she just wanted to say one thing to Papa Sam. Hold on just a second.
I love you, Papa.
Oh, that is really good. That's showed up.
She just.
You both in your face.
He just misses Papa already so much. She's just excited, and we're gonna bring them, and that's just something that we brought them, and we did as a family. We let the kids run around and everything. So we're excited to be coming back up there.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it. Randall's gonna really make it worth your while to come up there and enjoy what they're gonna plan for y'all.
Well, we just wouldn't want to do it any other way. We appreciate it, and like I said, and let somebody else have a term, and I just wanted to call and let everybody know that trailer will be making its way out one more time.
Well, we appreciate it, and like I said, our prayers definitely go out to you and your whole family on this trying time, and every barbecue team, every person that's ever met them, praying for y'all.
We certainly appreciate it, and y'all have a blessed evening.
You too,
Jamie.
Thank you.
So you already working on that, huh, Randall?
Oh yes, I've been by the last 15 or 20 minutes. We've been sending messages back and forth, so it's in the works.
Well, that's good. Like I said, we just love them being around, and like I said, they're a legacy, and it's going to be nobody will ever be able to replace them. We got another caller, 678-779-038.
Hi, this is Bubba.
Bubba.
Hey, just realized what time it was. I wanted to try and get on for a minute while I could.
Well, we're glad you called in, Bubba. We were kind of looking forward to it, and we were just discussing some, our first meetings with Papa Sam and the kind of impression he left on a lot of people.
Well, you know, there are people in our lives that I believe that we meet, and they have an impact on us, and people that make impressions on us. And, you know, there's one thing that with Sam and Diane is they opened up their hearts to everybody that they met. You know, they didn't know a stranger. This was outside of their personal family. This was their family out there. And just two of the most incredible people that I think I've ever known. You know, when I got into the world of barbecue, Sam literally was one of the very first people that I met, and I've had nothing but the highest regard for both him and Diane. And you know, to have something happen like it has, I mean, it was a shock to me, and you know, I was terribly upset about the whole thing, and just dumbfounded. I think like everybody else out there, just was unbelievable, you know. But, you know, here's a man that, you know, has done anything he can for anybody and has held his wife in the highest regards and has done nothing but try and take care of her and, I mean, missed her terribly this past weekend, you know, and I think that we all knew that. And, you know, he passed of a broken heart.
So, yeah, I've been... You know, there, he was, you know, he had so many emotions going through his mind and body, and you know, he looked tired out the whole time. But you know, like I said, I can't even imagine what kind of emotion he was going through. Talking about something that they both loved, and I do want to put out a big word for you for helping pack the trailer up and everything, and taking the initiative to look out for everything that they had up there and everything. And, you know, I know I appreciate you doing it, and their family appreciates you doing it, but, you know, it just shows what kind of people are out there in the barbecue world.
Well, you know, we all, I think, are close in some regards or another. You know, and I do think that we all look at what we do and having this extended family, you know, across the country. And realistically, whether it's you have met somebody or not met somebody, you know, it's, you know, we stick together. You know, we're our own brotherhood, you know, and just like the pilots, you know, that were out there in Rome this weekend, you know, they have their group, you know what I mean? We're all into it, think the world, and I think that anybody would help anybody out if they could, realistically. You know, but, you know, again, there are just some people, I think, that rise above, and I think that Sam and Diane were definitely those type of people. You know, I mean, you know, a cold beer, a good laugh, and a hot meal, I mean, you know, you could always be there, and they would take care of it for you. Just, I mean, it truly is a terrible and tragic loss to have two great people like this within 6 weeks, you know, move on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know if you heard earlier, but two of his daughters called in a little bit earlier. I don't know if you were on the line by then or not, but they called in and appreciated everything we were doing, and, you know, we're going to listen. Telecast and everything tonight, about people, you know, meeting them and everything, and you know, they came to see them, but they were really looking forward to cooking with Papa Frank. They're coming this year. They're class. He was really looking forward to it too. That, you know, they were taking interest in him out there. He's it kind of be like old times with Mama here? Instead, I have two or three of my daughters here. He's at least they'd be telling me what I'm doing wrong. So, you know, he was actually, that was one of the few things that really brought a smile on his face when he was talking about that. And
well, you know, I think he made the comment this weekend somewhere along the lines, is like, well, you know, this is just great. Now this is going to cost me $2,000 to send my daughters to barbecue school. But, you know, I mean, joking about the whole thing, you know, it was going to be a new chapter in his life. Now that Diane is gone, but he was still going to be able to continue out doing what both of them loved and enjoyed, and still have the rest of the family involved with it.
Yeah, he was really pumped up to be out there, because he was telling me, he said, you know, I was really glad to be getting back with my extended family. And, you know, he walked around, talked to a lot of team better this weekend, and, you know, it was very heartfelt for him to come down there. You know, when something like that happens, you don't really want to bombard them, you know, with people going to visit them and stuff. You gotta
sure.
Kind of let them, you know, just kind of let them come out and, you know, talk and, you know, when it's their time. And, you know, he made sure, just like he does at every contest, come around, talk to some of the teams and, you know, sit down and chat. And, like I said, what he's called eating goobers, he loves them full peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it made me tear up when I had to empty out those full peanuts Sunday morning. So, you know, like I said, but we will see the red trailer at least one more time up in Cummins this year. And going to have a big to-do up there as far as Randall's concerned. He's already working on it. So, but I'm just putting the word out. I'm gonna, when I get out there, I'm going to go on the barbecue forum and nominate him, not for barbecue angel, but for barbecue angel, just for the amount of lives that they've touched. And, you know, and what they did for the barbecue community.
Well, you know, I think that they realistically touched so many lives and so many people out there. You know, and just being, they were just who they were. You know, there never was a show or trying to impress anybody or this, that, or the other. You know, they really just who they were, and they were real people. They were genuine people that wanted to help whoever they could out in any way that they could. You know, so it is, you know, just a terrible loss. And, you know, I think that, you know, the one you know, what we need to try and do is find the good of what has happened. And, you know, I think at that point, you know, Sam's broken heart is healed at this point. And, you know, him and Diane are together again. You know, I saw the picture that you have of the two of them on Facebook. And, you know, a picture speaks a thousand words. You know, just, you know, just the two of them, you know, holding each other and just the smiles on their faces and happy as can be. Just, you know, it really is a great picture and, you know, something, I guess, that you really never thought of until now. You know, it really is. This past weekend, I think, should put a lot of perspective for a lot of people. It, you know, I think it was you that made the comment, you know, literally of, you know, here one minute and gone the next. And that's essentially what had happened this past weekend. You know, so I think to take things for granted and not stop and smell the roses and just realize who we are and what's out there. It's terrible that something like this has to happen to make us realize that or take another look at that.
There were rescue smokers posted that picture out, and Jen got in there and had to share it online because it was such a great picture. And, you know, we didn't get to see a whole lot of that the last couple of years, you know, them enjoying life like that. And, you know, just talking to Papa Sam and Diane, you know, just talking to them, I think they made so many other people so much better, you know, because they weren't trying to sugarcoat anything. Like you said, they were honest, good people, and they were who they were. And Dan was one that said, you know, that, you know, here one minute, gone the next. And, I mean, it literally was, because, you know, we just came back to dinner. You and Danny were out there. And, you know, it was just a shock. I mean, just inviting to dinner next one minute, the next minute, you know, he's gone. And it's just, like I said, it was very heart-wrenching, but I can't imagine what his pain was without living without Diane. And like you said, his heart's mended now, and he's up there with Diane, and they're looking down on all of us. And, we're, you know, the only thing we can do is just keep the legacy going and make them proud, you know, make this barbecue, you know, the best thing it can be in the world. And, you know, they enjoyed it so much. You know, and I know a lot of us do too. So, like I said, they made a lot of teams a lot better.
Amen to that. That's for sure. So, well, I hope that anybody that's out there listening, you know, whether you knew the two of them or not, you understand truly what kind of people they were and do kind of sit down and think about them and say something about them. And, you know, as you were just saying, you know, what we can do is make their legacy go on and what they wanted to do and what they were about. You know, I think we could all learn something from that and all be a better person.
Well, the team name said it right. You know, they were out there just for fun. And, you know, and I really believe, you know, even though they were tough competitors, they had a really good time. They just enjoyed spending time with other teams, getting to know other teams. And, like I said,
well, you know, it's funny. You know, Sam's big thing was on Saturday night, you know, I mean, he never went home Saturday. And he's like, you know, Saturday's is drinking night. I mean, that was, of course, you know, Sam liked to have a few beers throughout the weekend, but, you know, Saturday was typically drinking night.
Yep, he'd have goobers and shots.
Yeah, you know, and they did. I mean, they both like to have a good time. So it's very tragic, but, you know, we'll move on and try and do what we can. And, you know, as you were saying, I know there are some things that there have already been some things in the works with the passing of Diane, and now with Sam, you know, some other things going on. So their memory will not be forgotten by any means.
No, it won't. So, you know, hopefully we can propose something either at Boss Hog or at Randall's. Maybe get up, I'll talk to Randall about it, maybe get up something for the Just for Fun charity or something to maybe help a new barbecue team or something, you know, something they'd really, really like to promote barbecue and honor them, and hopefully we can do something like that, keep the legacy going.
I think, you know, between all the great people out there, a lot of brilliant ideas can be thrown together and we can come up with something.
Yep. Well, Bubba, I appreciate you calling in, buddy.
All right, bud. Y'all take care.
All right. We'll see you at a contest near you.
At some point. You know, I'm off this weekend, and then, yeah, Bentonville's next. So I guess as we are heading out, I do want to shout out to everybody going to the Royal this weekend. Best of luck and safe travels definitely out on the road.
Just remember, as a Georgia team, you got to represent, buddy.
Well, I won't be there. I got paid money this weekend.
I'm talking about out there at the Bentonville.
Yep.
Get it.
All right, guys. Y'all take care. Have a good night.
Thanks, Bubba. Take care.
Bye.
Randall, we just about out of time, buddy. Yeah, we'll plug your National Barbecue Cup again, third weekend in November. Do not miss it. And how much prize money is involved in that?
Right at $25,000.
Okay, so it's one of those events you do not want to miss. It's definitely one of the premier events of the year anywhere in the country. You can tell that by the amount of teams that were there last year and where they came from to get there. So, you know, I know you're looking for a lot bigger turnout this year, but last year was just phenomenal, especially the first year. So my hat goes off to you for pulling that off. And but anyway, we'll definitely get our entry fee into you as soon as possible. And so it'd just be one less little headache you got to worry about.
Well, there's plenty more.
Yeah, there are. But anyways, we'll see you at the Hillbilly Hog up in Cleveland, Georgia, I guess, in a few weeks.
Yep, we'll be there.
And like I said, good luck with your catering, and hope you sell a lot of smokers. I've been hearing a lot of good things about them.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We try. That's all we can do.
Well, I mean, well, you make some for restaurants, you make some for competing, and I think you're going to make some for backyard, too. So, I mean, yeah, you're going to cover all the bases, I think. So,
yep.
In this economy, you got to diversify, and that's a good way of doing it, you know, offering all different sizes and to different people's tastes and pocketbooks and their lifestyle, whatever they're going to do with them. So, it's very smart you're doing that. It really is.
Well,
so,
thank you. We're trying. That's kind of a startup business still, and it's been more successful than I expected. So that's a blessing. Along with the other things we're working on, it's got me extremely busy, which is a good thing. At this point, but we had some more contests in line and pulled out of a few because we've just got other things going on that we just can't. Do the things I need to do.
Right. It's all that priority thing.
It is. Those darn priorities get in the way, don't they?
Yeah, they do. That sucks sometimes. But, you know, you got to live first.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's good seeing you out there. And we had a good talk with you on the back of the tailgate. So,
that's where the best talks happen.
It is. Scott brought us a beer, so that wasn't too bad either. So
yeah, that made everything better.
But anyway, hopefully we'll get you on the show again, and we'll keep plugging your competition you got coming up. Like I said, I don't want anybody to miss it.
All right, we appreciate it, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right,
people, that was our tribute show to Papa Sam and Diane, Just for Fun Cooking Crew. Great people. If you didn't know them, you missed out. But anyways, our condolences and prayers go out towards the family. And hopefully we'll see them all up there in Cummings, Georgia. We've got a special spot for them. And until next week, let's keep on talking Q.